Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Tom, a few weeks ago, I was absolutely convinced that we were up to episode 64. We weren't, but now we are, so I can officially say, welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 64.
I enjoy the number 64.
It can rhyme with so many things that, you know, feeling more with 64.
Sure. Look, I like anything that's a result of a square number. Bit of an 8 squared, 64, happy times.
Did you have a Nintendo 64?
You know I did.
I didn't, but my cousins did. So
we were a Nintendo household.
We had I was going to say the American pronunciation of Sega.
We had Sega.
Yeah, we had Sega.
My friend Alistair had Sega, so I'd go and play Sega.
You say Sega. Okay, cool. I've just been listening to too many podcasts from America recently, so it's Sega.
Oh, for me, it's just the load up sound is burned into my psyche.
Yeah.
Turn that on and play some Raptors tearing up Jurassic Park.
I was very much a Sonic.
Sure, Sonic is great.
So much fun. I got the original Sonic the Hedgehog on iPad years ago.
Sure.
And it was exactly the same. It was brilliant. But I could not get past a certain, I think it was perhaps level 3 or something. And I thought, how? I finished this game. How am I so bad at it? I realised it was because of the touch.
Yeah,
touch,
it's not as
It's really hard. Yeah. Yeah, really difficult to play. I would probably be very good if I had an older controller.
Well, the Sonic games are continuing to be released. There's some Sonic Forces, I think, came out on Switch last year.
Fun?
It's all right.
Okay.
They haven't nailed Sonic in a long time.
No. Well, obviously, because it's very under the radar for me.
But give me my boy Knuckles.
Yeah, you like Knuckles the most?
Knuckles.
Yeah.
Tails was great back in the day, but Knuckles I'm all about.
He changed it all up for you. We've got a lot of news. This is a very news-heavy episode today, which is great.
It's what happens when Super Bowl happens, because who cares about foosball? It's just all the good bits that happen in between.
I realize every year the Super Bowl comes around that I know little to nothing about American football.
Until my Dolphins are in there, I don't care.
Yeah, okay. Do you know how all the games played?
Yeah.
I mean, they get goals and touchdowns, which are like tries.
Yes.
And there's a lot of stopping and starting, and that's about as much as I know. It's a lot of tactics, I think.
It's very tactical, and it's about strategy moving up in small plays, as opposed to rugby, which is about play through.
Yeah, just go for it.
Kind of more like rugby league, where you've got the six turns before you hand over, this sort of stuff. There's a lot more back and forth involved. Anyway, this is not football chat.
No.
This is fun stuff during Super Bowl chat.
If we were having a football chat, you and I would not be here.
No, someone else would be involved.
That's right.
I'm not in a position to talk with authority about it.
Not getting on board with that, which is good because then the quiz would have had absolutely no relation. I've gone to sort of a back to basics quiz. I thought we'd just have a bit of fun.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of news and we'll get to the quiz at the end. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
So if you are very against having anything spoiled, you can listen to the whole entire episode.
That's right.
No
just
worries,
teases
mate.
This week.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a hint.
I watched a couple of little things as well.
Yeah, bit of watching.
So let's kick it off. You've got a lot from the Super Bowl reveals and trailers.
Yes.
What was probably your highlight?
So the highlight for me definitely was the very short Avengers Endgame Super Bowl trailer.
Yeah.
I'm sure you caught it because it seemed everyone did.
Everybody did.
Once again, they're not giving away much at all.
Well, no real surprise.
No.
But it's still nice to be able to get those little tidbits, just a couple of little tasty morsels.
Well, look, there was one shot of Tony Stark working on the inside of a spaceship with Nebula, and those were the two left out on the planet Titan after the battle with Thanos. So it's cool to see that they're going to work together.
And we did see him in the first trailer in what we think is a spaceship that had run out of power and everything.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and potentially Nebula is pulling parts off her cybernetic arm to use for fixing the ship, which is pretty cool.
Mm.
The bit that got me most excited was seeing that Rocket Raccoon is now part of the Avengers. I was hoping that would happen.
There was a bit of talk that that would be what, but it's nice to have the confirmation.
That's right. Yeah. Comic book wise, it could have gone two directions. He could have stormed off by himself into space. I'd say it's more likely that he's stuck on the planet with Tony Stark away. Tony is the man who would build him a spaceship to get out of there. And same with Black Panther being gone. A lot of the world's greatest minds are gone. They're not going to be able to build him a rocket to leave. So now he's got to serve with those Flarkin humans.
Well, what I like about it is we still get a little bit of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I know we're not getting the third movie.
Oh, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to have just a little flavor of it sprinkled in.
The other part that's got me asking some questions, and a lot of people online actually ask about it, is Marvel trailers, we've learned now that they like to remove things or trick us. Maybe they'll show Thor with one eye or two eyes or, you know, change up things.
Completely different in the movie,
Yes, and they love their symmetry in the shots for the trailers especially. And there's a couple of shots there that are really noticeably asymmetrical and it looks like they've digitally removed someone from the scene.
Okay. So what are the theories?
Look, it could be Captain Marvel and they don't want to be giving away all the stuff that's going to happen in her movie, which we get next month.
It's really soon.
Tail end of this month now.
Whoa.
It could be her. It could be Loki or someone that we wouldn't even consider. It could be someone we haven't met yet that maybe helps Ant-Man get out of the quantum realm. Who knows? There are so many possibilities. It's more the fact that there is something missing that's got people talking.
And that is exactly why they do it. Mm-hmm. They want the discussion. They want people to be talking about it on Reddit, on Twitter, everywhere.
It still really feels like they're just showing, like they've said that they're only going to show stuff from the first 20 minutes in advertising, and it feels like a superhero version of, did you ever see The Leftovers? Do you know The Leftovers, that show? It was from some of the people that made Lost, and it was about the rapture happens and a percentage of the world's population ascends to heaven just simultaneously. And it's all about the people left behind. How do they go on? How do they struggle? And that's what this film looks like. It's dealing a lot with the loss, you know. We've got Captain America back in a support group.
Well, what I find interesting is if that person that has been CGI'd out of the trailer and that's from the first 20 minutes, and if it is Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel's introduced very early on.
Yes, which I have a feeling is going to be the case. I think this film is not going to start directly after. I think there's going to be quite some time past.
Okay, so we don't see the shock. We see the aftermath of the aftermath.
Well, yeah, the first few shots in that trailer, they don't really look like anything. They look like establishing shots. You know, you see the Statue of Liberty and a sports stadium. But if you look closely, there's no people. Everything's empty. So it's that idea of what happens when half the world's population is gone. We've got so much surplus crap now.
And no one to make our food for us.
No.
We make it ourselves. Yeah. Annoying.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I was pretty happy and rapt that I got to see Handmaid's Tale. I saw the teaser of the trailer teaser the day before. And so, yeah, Super Bowl gave us the trailer of season 3. So when I first watched it, it's voiced over by, you know, one of those in a world when time forgot kind of things, guys. And he says, it's morning again, America. And he goes through stats, and they're obviously Gilead stats. Mm-hmm. And he says at one point in time, this year, dozens of children will be born to parents. Okay, here we go. And then he sort of gets in a loop, and his voice lowers and lowers, and it gets really creepy. Ooh. And then you see June, a.k.a. Elizabeth Moss, and she says, wake up, America, morning's over. And it's like Handmaid's Tale. But what I didn't realize until I read about it, a little more about it, is that it was a parody of a Ronald Reagan political campaign ad.
Right.
From about 1984, I believe. And it's easily, you just Google that in and you'll see the comparison straight away. And in that, it's sort of like showing this idyllic 1980s America where the guy says, wake up, America. You know, your America's waking up to brilliant economy. Parents are very happy. Children are getting married and they'll be able to get married because everything's dandy. It goes for about a minute and a half maybe. The Handmaid's Tale trailer doesn't, but that's where they're getting the inspiration. It's like I said, it's almost like a parody of that, except sure. from someone who wasn't in America in the 1980s, I had no idea. So for me, it seemed like a Gilead propaganda video.
Ah.
That's what it looked like. And I guess you could take it that way, and you could also take it in the way of the parody, and also potentially maybe the 1984 Ronald Reagan political ad was propaganda of some description. So are we going for an idyllic Gilead? What is the aftermath of what she got up to? Mm-hmm. We saw a bit of that footage, and I can't wait.
Awesome. Did it say when?
Didn't say when, unfortunately, but I reckon about June.
Okay. That's not too long to wait.
It's not too long. It's definitely going to be after Game of Thrones, which I'm very happy about.
Sure.
I do not want those two crossing because that's too much excitement.
I know.
In one. Now, speaking of Game of Thrones,
that was
of course,
great ad.
Yeah.
That Bud Light ad.
It was fun, right? It was.
I laughed so hard. I laughed harder than I did any of the other ads. Obviously, it starts looking like a bad Game of Thrones parody and then just turns into actual Game of Thrones and the mountain kills a corporate sponsor, mascot.
And the dragon comes
along.
And
the dragon
along,
burns everyone to death.
And that's the end of the ad.
Yep.
Well
done.
Fun.
Well done. Yeah, Bud Light. That was a great ad. It stuck, got people talking. They partnered well with HBO for that.
Now, who do you think went to who? Who do you think came up with the idea?
I think Bud Light went to them.
It's impressive they managed to get them to say yes. But they did make Game of Thrones the winner of the commercial.
Yeah, yeah. So. I think if you... There would have been some good money exchanged.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, both of them really benefited from that exposure. So,
indubitably.
Yes.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or... Hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
What else caught your attention?
A lot of people were very excited about that little Toy Story 4 teaser about the search for Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
I'm on board with that. They're really pushing Key and Peele, the two carnival toy characters that are in there.
Why do you think? Do you think that they're going to be a bigger presence?
I think they've potentially got a bigger presence in the film. I think it's also, it's a very white cast, Toy Story, very, very white voices throughout.
Yep.
So by mixing it up. I also think that, you know, you've got a couple of, like Jim Varney, who voiced Slinky the dog, he's passed away. And there's a couple of people that aren't around as much.
Yeah. So they kind of got to fill the gap and fill the politically correct gap.
I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's also, well, if those guys are from a sketch comedy background and they're used to doing really short, stabby bits. So I don't know if even those scenes are going to be in the film. It could just be that they've gotten them in to riff tons to help promote the film.
Fun, though.
It was really fun. But Jordan Peele was all over this Super Bowl. If you look at things, he was in the Toy Story 4 trailer. They had a big ad for Twilight Zone. Did you see this?
I didn't see the Twilight Zone one.
It was very, very disruptive. So it starts with what looks like actual footage from the Super Bowl, and then it flickers and cuts.
Nice.
And then Jordan Peele's sitting alone in the stadium and starts doing the Sterling style voice from the original Twilight
Zone. It's giving me shivers listening to you talk about it.
Yeah. You're standing at the precipice of a door. Do you cross through? Or do you remain where you are? This is a story about a man who is everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
That's amazing.
And he's got the patter down. He's not doing an impression so much as it's just copying the same style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, if someone was doing a William Shatner or an Adam West, you recognize the pentameter without doing a bad impression.
Yeah, I get you.
So he had that. There was another trailer for Us, which it continues to look really spooky and scary. And I don't know what to talk about with it because it doesn't give anything away. It's great.
Mm.
And then there was something else that he had executive producing on as well that I can't even remember. There was so much stuff.
Busy man.
There were some very short little teasers for Guillermo del Toro's next film, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
That was kind of the same. It didn't really give you too much information, except I think at the end of potentially the last one or one of the last ones, they said, oh, we're next, or we're getting chased, or they're after it, or it's after it. Like,
yes. So they're based on a book series.
Oh, okay.
Proper scary books, and this could be, well, it's right in his wheelhouse, I think, some creepy funny scares.
There's someone who's going to do it, it's going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good.
The other trailer that dropped just before Super Bowl, like the day before, and then they had an extra teaser trailer
during that.
was Hobbs and Shaw, which is the Fast and the Furious spin-off movie.
Woo!
I am on board for this. Like, I already knew I would be, but this trailer was really strong. So it's added Idris Elba as the bad guy.
Holy cow.
Who is some super smart scientist dude that shoots himself up with things to become a super villain.
Kind of like that Bradley Cooper movie. Was it Limitless? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, but like he's...
But evil.
Injected, and yeah, at one point someone says to him, who are you? And he just shrugs and goes, bad guy. So this film dead set looks like Lethal Weapon or your old cheesy 80s action film with great banter between two people who don't like each other shoved into today's superhero mold.
And with the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yes. So behind it. I think the only, like, we'll get The Rock and potentially his daughter, but okay. I don't think we'll get too many of the characters tied to him from the other films. But then with Shaw, which is Jason Statham, Helen Mirren played his mother. Wouldn't surprise me if she gets a look in somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we'll see a bit of that.
It's that everything that you've just thrown at us there that potentially tells you the large audience that they're going to get for this.
Yes. I think it's got...
Like a lot broad interest, you know?
I think it's got really, really strong potential. I mean, I even showed the trailer to Linz and normally she would poo-poo at anything like that. And she was like, that looks like a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There was a lot of positive hype about it online.
Yeah.
After it was released, so...
That's about it for Super Bowl, but there's a bit of other news.
Oh, there's heaps of other stuff. This was a weird one I saw. This came out before the Super Bowl.
Mm.
But there's a David Bowie biopic being filmed.
Sure.
Or getting made. And they found the guy that they're going to have as David, which is a South African actor and musician called Johnny Flynn. Now, it's going to be set around the invention of Ziggy Stardust.
Okay.
Sounds really cool.
Sure.
Into it. That's a great part of David Bowie's life that people would be interested in. This was the weird thing. There will be none of his music at all in the film. Why? You look at something that has just been out or is out at the moment, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm.
You know exactly what it's about. You go in looking for the story, but you're also going in looking for the music, right?
Definitely.
If you're going in wanting to watch a movie about David Bowie, well then...
Look, I...
What's missing?
If it's entirely about the perspective of creating the character, then I could understand why the music might be left out because it was about him adopting a persona to sing through. Maybe that's the angle they go for. However, I agree. That's stupid and kneecapping you.
If anything, it's got to end with him singing.
Do you think that maybe there's issues around getting the rights?
That's what I'm wondering. I couldn't see anything about it.
So couldn't they get around that by having people cover Bowie songs?
But also, if you've gone so far as to get the rights to have the story, where was the holdup?
Story potentially written by a biographer or someone outside?
Yeah, potentially.
Not by him, and they've optioned that story rather than his life rights.
So much technicality in all of this sort of getting around. I mean, we heard about the controversy with the Green Book last week.
Mm.
Where Nabil was talking about how, you know, one family is saying, yeah, it's all on board. They were great mates. And the other family's like, they hated each other. They were barely anything to each other. So,
hey, Zolta, I want my money back. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Bit of a sad one.
Mm.
Clive Swift passed away, age 82. You might know him better as Richard Bucket or Bouquet.
That's right. Bouquet residence, Lady of the House speaking.
Mind the lorry.
Imagine driving with her. That was sad. 81, I think he was.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Good innings.
I'll say, but still, it's sad. Somebody pointed out that almost to the day... He passed away on the anniversary of Onslow dying. It would have been at least 10 years ago now.
Sure.
Which I thought was a little interesting keeping up with appearances fact.
Oh, gotta love that expanded lore.
Absolutely. Speaking of sad news, Travellers was cancelled, so they won't have a season 4. Eric McCormick, it looked like he may have been the one to break the news on one of his social, maybe Instagram or Twitter, I don't know, but he did a little video about it, you know, when... He'll be fine.
There'll be something else for him to do.
He's still Will and Gracing, so... Mm. But Travellers, I never got into it.
No, me
neither. I'm wondering if it's worth it.
Probably not.
because would season 3 have finished on a nice ending?
Mm.
I don't know. Mm. I got no idea. What else did you see?
So a couple of things from FX. Mm. They've announced lineups for this year, next year and stuff like that.
Now, the big one that you and I were talking about just before recording was Fargo. Mm. Season 4 has been announced, which is great news. Chris Rock, I think, is lined up, set in the 1950s in Kansas City, and he'll be the head of a crime family. That's all I know at the moment.
Well.
Sounds cool.
It does. So that'll be 2020, maybe?
So we got a while. Yeah. The announcement's literally just been thrown at us.
Yes. They said very much that they're looking at their stuff as a little more prestige now, so they don't need to rush it out every year, that they're focused on quality over quantity.
More than happy for them to do it that way.
So that also leads into that Atlanta season 3 has been delayed till next year.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because Donald Glover's the busiest man ever. He's still out on tour.
Isn't he stopping touring? Like, once this tour's finished, he reckons he's going to stop?
That's what he says, but...
He's going to do a show, a.k.a. Johnny Farnham.
There'll be some reason to come back later. Like, I think he's going to stop touring as Childish Gambino, but there's no reason why he can't continue off as whatever he does next. Because he's not slowing down anytime soon.
No.
But he's got a big year with Lion King this year, and, you know, he's busy enough. So
now I've got This Is enough. America stuck in my head.
It's a great song.
Such a great song.
And, you know, a lot of people involved are off doing big things.
Everyone's, what happens when you have a great cast.
Yeah, everyone's kind of blowing up and doing their own things elsewhere, so they'll be all right. They also said that Legion will be ending with season 3.
Oh, really? Yes. I missed that news.
Yes, that was bundled up in the FX stuff. I think they've been working towards that end. I'm surprised it got a season 2 and season 3. It's a great show, don't get me wrong.
I love season 1.
It's a really difficult watch. It's probably the most difficult thing I try and get through.
It takes a while to get through. Yeah. It takes a while to get into.
Yeah. And you're constantly on the back foot and confused as to what's happening and what's real and this sort of stuff. There's a lot of unreliable narrators and all sorts of stuff throwing you off.
Mm.
And then finally, with the FX news, they announced that one of the best comic book series of this century is called Why the Last Man, letter Y.
Okay, and so the name of the last man is Y.
Well, his name is Yorick.
I really feel like we're doing that skit now, who's on first?
Yes, I know. His name is Yorick.
Okay.
A plague strikes the world and kills every male, like a Thanos snap.
Mm.
No one knows why. We never really learn why. This guy who's a, you know, almost amateur escape artist and he's a bit of a douche. He's a 20-year-old bit of a douche. He has a pet monkey called Ampersand.
Okay.
And those are the only two males left.
Oh, so all males from every species.
We don't know fully with animals, and I'm not going to give things away here.
No, that's
because
fine.
But it is a big deal that he and his pet monkey are left alive, and it may we slowly learn as to why he survived and when others didn't.
Interesting. Now, how long, I mean, is this comic book still going?
No, so it was about a 60-issue comic or something like that. And, you know, when it started, his girlfriend Beth was in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Would she be able to come back? His mother is quite high up in politics. I don't know where they'll place her in the show, but...
Interesting.
There's a little bit of a designated survivor situation there of, you know...
Ah, okay.
Suddenly she's a lot more important.
More designated survivor, less Veep.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And it's a really heartbreaking story. As a guy, it's not an easy read because women quickly adapt to not needing us.
Okay.
Yep. It's going to be an awesome show because there'll be one male lead and everyone else on the show is female. And they've said that Diane Lane is involved.
Yeah, nice.
I didn't write it down because I saw it just as I walked in and there was someone other name that was maybe Abigail Breslin or something. I don't know.
And other
great females, and they're going to be announcing the cast over the next few weeks.
Now, this with this cast, it's going to be very obvious that it's going to be predominantly female. But as you were talking about that, it reminded me that, do you remember The Bodyguard? Not the movie, the TV show?
Yes, yes.
That had a lot of female characters in there, women who were in charge, leaders. And I thought that was very interesting. It was more subtle. It wasn't overly obvious, but this sounds like it's going to be obvious because it's the whole premise of the storyline. Yeah. But I don't know how I haven't heard of this story, because you know I love a good apocalyptic story. And anything with a slight twist on how the world now lives and reacts and deals with each other is something that I'm always very fascinated with. And this sounds like I'm going to have to watch it.
Well, he has to do a lot of cross-country travel. And during that time, he's got to stay hidden because, you know, he's the greatest bargaining chip in the world.
Mm.
And he runs into various, I'll say, tribes of women who might have gone a little feral or this sort of stuff. There's one that have been inspired by Amazons and cut off their breast so that they're better with a bow and arrow.
Jeez.
Yep, there's all sorts of...
So it's full on. It's not sort of like your Wonder Woman.
No, it's not female empowerment. Like, it's partly like how good females would survive without us around, but it's also they are now missing something.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? There's no positive.
There are definite positives.
Okay.
You know, rape is no longer a thing. And
sure.
Some things that are very male-driven no longer exist.
Hmm.
Some very odd female things spring up in its place.
What an interesting premise.
Yeah, I'm being really cagey because you should genuinely go and read this story. I think you'd love it.
So with this, with the 60
issues, they're put together in graphic novels
okay.
and stuff.
Okay, so with those, there was a definite story arc, like it was always going to be 60?
Yes, and it was planned.
Okay.
And it ended when it was supposed to end. And anyone who's read that last issue and
knows.
Didn't cry...
Oh, right, okay.
...is heartless.
So with... Okay, so this definitely 100% should be a TV series instead of a movie.
Couldn't be a movie.
It's too much.
Way too much.
Okay.
Which leads me into my next news story.
Go.
I'm so excited about this. Probably my favorite book is Stephen King's The Stand. I feel like I've talked about this before, have I?
I
don't know.
Yeah.
But they've been trying to make it for years. And there was a 1994 TV series with Molly Ringwald and Rob Lowe and...
What a cast.
Uh-huh. It's really cheesy.
Can we have them in it again?
No, thank you. Because it's cheesy and it doesn't really do the story justice.
Can you give a quick little synopsis for the story just in case?
Not really, but I'm going to do my damnedest.
Okay.
So Stephen King set out to try and write the American Lord of the Rings. He wanted to write this huge epic story. It's about a disease called Captain Trips, a plague that gets out of a research center. It's a super flu, and it kills 99.6% of the population within 3 weeks. And this is the story is about the people who are left over. They all start experiencing dreams or nightmares. If you're having dreams, you're drawn by a 100-year-old African-American lady towards Nebraska. And if you're having the nightmares, you're drawn to... Florida. Randall Flagg, who bases himself in Vegas, in the heart of Sin City.
Yeah, right, there we go.
And RF, Randall Flagg, those initials, he's also known as the Walkin' Dude. He wears a suit with no shoes and he walks cross-country collecting people... bringing them to his bad stuff. RF across all Stephen King books is kind of the initials used for the devil. Whoever Mephisto or the trickster devil is this character. And it has some of the most oddball characters of anything I've ever read. There's a guy obsessed with burning himself. He maybe has questionable allegiances throughout, and there's a nuclear bomb involved, and there's one of my favorite characters in anything ever, a guy named Tom who is intellectually handicapped but shows that you don't need to be a genius to be a hero.
Yeah, cool.
Maybe having lesser intellect means that he's not noticed by the walking dude and this sort of stuff.
Cool.
M-O-O. And anyway, all of this... They've been trying for years to do a big budget version of this. And as I said, there was a mini series. I think Guillermo del Toro's had a go. Peter Jackson's had a go. So many big names have had a go at turning this into a film series. And then in 2013, maybe 14, Josh Boone, who was coming off The Fault of Our Stars, he got signed to do a film adaptation, which is a great call.
Yeah.
And there was talk of... He initially proposed 3 films, maybe 4. We could do 1 4-hour film. It's gone back and forth and stayed there. Anyway, they've just announced instead that it's going to be a TV series, limited TV series, which is what it needs to be.
And the great thing about that is that there's been quite a few limited TV series that have come out, and it works really well, and you can get big, famous, huge names who get on board with these limited TV series, and it works really well.
I just want Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey has to play the walking dude because he is the most spot on. It's that laid back, laconic drawl.
He hasn't done TV, I don't think, since True Detective. So
it would be a great flashy role for him to jump back into. Mm. I really see it working as a limited series because the book is very much like a Lord of the Rings divided into three separate arcs.
Mm-hmm.
The first. Now, here's the other thing you've got to know about this book. When he initially put it out, I think it was about 1,200 pages, and he was cranky because that was the edited version. His editors had made him pull out about 400 pages.
Then he had a word with George R.R.R. Martin.
Yep. And it all got put back in. Amazing. And the expanded is fantastic. And it only really adds a couple of characters, but there's one called the Kid, which deserves to be in the story. He's a sadistic teenager. So, yeah, I could see them doing maybe like planning to do three series of it. I don't think you could cram everything into one 10-episode arc. I mean, you could.
Mm.
But to do it real well, the first third of the story is about the Captain Trips and the fall. The second one is about the call, which is people hearing these dreams, starting to put their lives back together. And the third is the potential saving or annihilation of all mankind.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if people were on board with this right now and they're like, I don't think I can wait for them to make it.
Read that book.
Would you read or would you audiobook it?
Read. I haven't done an audiobook version of it, but okay. I reread it probably every second year.
Okay.
I tend to find that it lasts about 2 or 3 days laying by a pool.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's a nice way of describing books.
I have taken it to Gold Coast a couple of times, laid by a pool and read for 4 to 6 hour blocks and gotten through it in 2 or 3 days.
Nice. That's
real solid.
All right. We need to. Oh, there's a lot of fun stuff happening.
So excited.
Oh my gosh, I want it all now.
I know.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
I got one last news story for you.
Oh.
So this is a bit exciting for the hometown boy. Jim Jefferies has had his show renewed for a third season, which is great, his topical news show, which I found it is really growing in leaps and bounds. He's gotten a lot more confident. He seems to stop. He's stopped trying to be like the other guys and is just being a laid-back Aussie. And
you
got to
be
really
you,
works.
Don't you?
Yep.
You got to carve out your own little niche.
But the interesting part with this is that the deal he's signed, he's inked a first deal, first look comedy deal with Comedy Central.
Interesting.
Who are the people that do his show, but he's had a couple of specials on Netflix that have done really well for him. So it looks like Comedy Central is saying, no, we want in on the Jim Jefferies game. No more with Netflix. You're with us now.
I reckon he probably got paid quite handsomely for that.
I imagine so.
Good on him.
Yep.
Oh, I love a good Aussie battler done good, eh?
Yeah.
Eh, but?
He's a cheeky fella.
Yeah, he definitely
is. I celebrated by rewatching some of his TV, his sitcom from the 2013 maybe, called Legit.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth a look.
Okay, we'll have a look.
Yeah.
I'll legit have a look.
Hey! Wow, wow, wow! Guitar break, rock!
And then I come in with a triangle. Ding! What have you been watching?
A few things.
Bits and pieces. Bits and bobs.
We can just get through a few things because there's nothing super flashy that I watched. Obviously, with Super Bowl on, there was nothing much last night.
Yeah, it was a bit quiet, wasn't it?
Yes, and there was a few shows. I don't know. I think ratings period is about to kick off, so maybe holding up.
Mm.
But one show I did watch that I've been meaning to watch last week, didn't get to it. Really glad I did watch. Mm. I think you're really going to enjoy this show. It's called The Other Two. So it's about a 30-something gay guy who lives in New York, and he's a struggling actor.
Mm-hmm.
His sister lives nearby. She'd be late 20s, early 30s, something like that. She's a former dancing prodigy.
Okay.
And now she's a real estate agent. And it's called The Other Two because their 13-year-old brother becomes an overnight viral superstar. Clearly modeled on Justin Bieber.
Okay.
His name is Chance, and he goes by the YouTube name Chance Dreams. Sorry, Chase Dreams.
Chase.
Chance is that's a running joke through the episode.
Okay.
He gets a new manager named Skeeter. Not
Scooter.
Not Skeeter. And it's filmed multicam and it looks very grown up and it's not a silly sitcom. The writing is impeccable. It's all about how do these two that in their mother's eyes have been achieving things overnight suddenly are worthless. And their mother is a proper stage mum. Do you remember Molly Shannon from SNL?
Yes, I do. She plays the mother. Oh, she'd be perfect as a stage mum.
So she's great as the stage mum.
I love her. Ever since SNL. Oh, do you remember her as the awkward school kid?
Superstar.
Yeah. Still do that.
Mm-hmm.
To this day. Oh, this sounds good.
It's really, really good.
The other two.
The gay guy, his best friend, I think, or co-worker at least, is we just met him as Pete on The Good Place, the gossip columnist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You remember I made a joke a few weeks ago that you didn't pick up on where I said he plays a great straight man. I said he's a comedic straight man because he always plays very camp people.
He was so camp.
That's who he is.
In The Good Place. So in the other two, is he similar?
Yes.
Awesome. So bitchy and just in the few scenes that we saw him in The Good Place.
He just drips sass.
Brilliant.
So I think this show's got a lot of legs and like the first episode ends with Kathy Lee Gifford has put them up in a fancy hotel and had them out on the show and stuff like that. And so the two older kids have gone to visit. And the 13-year-old says, "Can you guys stay with me? I'm really lonely. I'm really confused by all this." And just them realizing that this is not a one-off thing. This is not a flash in the pan. Like he's got a world tour booked and he's about to go and present the MTV Best Kiss for the Video Music Awards. All this, like, it's really, really, they have Mario Lopez covering from E! And all this sort of stuff. So it feels like a proper viral story.
Half hour sort of?
Yep.
Cool.
Half hour.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
The other two.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I've been getting in, I've been binge watching, I should say. I'm just going to say it like it is. I've been binge watching the second season from Friends from College.
Sure.
And
how's the sass on that?
So much sass.
Yeah.
As each episode goes by, the more I love Fred Savage's character.
Really?
He's
because you were pretty enamored with him last week.
Yeah, like I'm just there's this one bit where he's quite good at freaking out at times. And they've gone around, some of the group has gone around to another person from the group's house and there's an awkward situation. I won't get into it because it will give away a part of the storyline.
Sure.
But he's like, guys, we've got to act really casual. So they were practicing their casual faces out the front. Oh, I was laughing. You know when you're watching something by yourself, you usually just have a little chuckle. I was laughing out loud. And then when they get into the house and they're sitting at a table and the camera just keeps flashing every now and then to the three people who had been practicing the casual faces. Fred Savage's casual face was phenomenal. I was losing it. And what I like about this show is this second season is very different to the first. They're in terms of storyline, but they still manage to keep the feel, the flow,
sure.
The whole sort of vibe of the TV show. It's one of those programs that you can sit down and watch 2 to 3 to sometimes 4 episodes and go, yeah, I was happy with that. I feel quite happy now. I'm going to walk off. And because I like to watch other stuff that's quite heavy.
Yeah.
So you
handle that stuff.
Yeah. So that's sort of a nice palate cleanser. And I find that Netflix does offer up a few of those sort of shows that you can jump in. There'll be sort of, you know, that lighthearted relationship kind of friends and whatnot ensemble cast show. And then they might have 8 to 10 episodes and it's gone for that year and it'll come back. Like Love is one of those. You know,
yeah,
you jump
difficult
in.
Difficult people.
Exactly. And you just watch it and you go, yeah, cool. And then when it comes back the next year and they go, do you want to skip the recap? You go, no, I really need to watch it. I have no recollection of what I watched last year. I just remember liking it. What else have you been watching?
Drop the Mic had a really strong episode. Well, actually, they've been back. They've had two strong ones. The first one was I really enjoyed. They had Boy George up against Laverne Cox.
Oh, nice. Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I don't need to say any more than
no.
that.
No.
Yeah. You can picture that. She gets sassy.
I bet she does.
Mm-hmm. She takes him down.
I wouldn't think he'd be very tall either.
He's not.
So she would.
He does
tower.
Wear a big hat.
Oh, that explains.
Not big enough.
No.
She does tower.
She's a tall woman.
And glower.
She's
she gets
awesome.
Fired up by. But this week's episode, for me specifically, was a home run.
Mm-hmm.
You had Drop the Mic's first ever three-way battle.
Ooh.
Of a lost reunion.
No way. Between, this is no wonder it's right up your alley.
So it had Harold Pamarino Jr., who's played Michael. You might remember him from Romeo and Juliet. It had.
And also, was it the final Matrix or the second?
Yeah, second and third.
Do you know who reminds me of him? Or every now and then? Michonne.
Sure.
When I first saw her, I was like, she reminds me of someone. I can't picture who it is. Can't put my finger on it. It's him. Got a similar mouth.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see that.
I've gotten totally sidetracked. So,
that's okay. Yeah. Michael? Daniel Day Kim, who plays Jin on Lost, who has been on Hawaii Five-0 for a few years.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be in the next Hellboy movie.
Oh, nice.
And then Josh Holloway, who played Sawyer, who's also been on Colony.
I've not seen him for years, to be honest.
He was
with
on
you.
Colony for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
That was a really good show. Intelligence, he did one. Or might be Central Intelligence. I don't know. But he was also in like maybe 2 minutes of Mission Impossible 5.
Oh, okay.
I want to say 5, could be 4.
Does he look different?
No. Oh, he looks older.
But you still recognize him.
You still recognize him, but he doesn't have the long hair and age has beat him up a bit.
He's at
a bit,
least he doesn't have the long hair and have been beaten up by age.
No,
it's never a good look.
No, no. So the three of them have a great battle, but then...
That's a nice group too.
They clearly really enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
But then the standout, the Muppets.
They did the Muppets.
They had the Muppets.
Drop the Mic. So, did that have three as well, or was that
four.
Just...
Four. So it was Kermit and Pepe, the prawn.
Oh, they're being teams.
And yes, against Miss Piggy and Beaker.
Oh, nice.
And Beaker serves one role. Can you imagine what... The noise he makes might be useful if someone's about to say something naughty.
It's so good.
But I won't spoil things too much with it, but Kermit misunderstands what the point of this is and raps really nice things to everyone. So it makes it even funnier when everyone else just tears strips off Kermit.
Oh, that's so clever.
Even Pepe turns on him. And the best part is just Method Man so happy. Like, this is hardcore Wu-Tang Clan guy happy about the Muppets there. He's like, this is my childhood coming true.
Let's
do this.
Magic.
And it's very cleverly filmed, so you don't see any of the trenches or anything like that. It just looks like they're on the normal stage.
That's so good.
Yeah.
You must have been just smiling the whole time. Just a grin.
I didn't delete it off my iPad so I could watch it again the next night.
Oh, nice.
It was great.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was so good.
What else did I watch? I got up to a little bit of old school watching. I decided to check out the... When was it? A couple of years ago. I'll just say the SNL female version of Ghostbusters. I just saw it sitting there. I thought, I'll have a look at.
Let's see what the hubbub was about.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was the hubbub?
I definitely don't have the magic that the original guys had. They were sort of, I don't know. There was too much character happening. It was just like a bit bombarding.
Someone should have said to Kate McKinnon, like, hey. Those choices you make are normally really good, but you've made too many choices.
There's too many choices in that. Because you think she's kind of like half Igor, half Peter.
Very much so.
Peter? Was that Dan Aykroyd's character? Anyway, Dan Aykroyd's character. I can't remember. Yeah. She was kind of those two, but just the full 100% full bore quirk of both of them. It was just
and
like,
I just found anytime she was on screen... She's so magnetic that she draws
like
your
her.
Eyes normally, but it was too much.
It
overshadowed.
It really was. Yeah. Look, if I can say some positive things, I did like Kristen Wiig. I thought she was quite good.
Yep.
And I also really liked how the ghosts looked, particularly towards the end. It was all for one. And the cameos were fun.
Cameos were fun.
They were really super fun. But I think everybody was just working a little too hard.
Can you... When did you watch it?
Oh, like a week ago.
Can you even remember what the villain looked like? I cannot think of a more forgettable villain.
He was very forgettable.
And I've seen him in some great stuff. That guy, he was excellent on Making History, that time travel show with Adam Powell.
Okay, is that what he's from?
Not really. He was just a bit player in that. But
because for me, it was almost like they went, oh, we need someone who looks a little bit like the guy from the second Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
We'll pick him. Does he need a backstory? Nah, don't worry about it.
He's just a crazy guy.
Yeah.
You know what else it was missing?
I know exactly who was missing.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis. Yeah.
That's what it boils down to for me.
Yeah.
Don't bother unless you can get him in.
Well, this will be interesting for the upcoming Ghostbusters movie, where the original, well, as many of the original people as they can get are in it. Rick Moranis is retired from acting.
He still does stuff. He does voiceovers.
Do you think they'll get him?
I could see them getting him in a voiceover role to voice a ghost because, okay, they managed to get him on the Goldbergs late last year because they did a Star Wars episode, Spaceballs episode, which was fantastic, and they had him voice...
Big Helmet.
Yes, which was great. And they filmed it in shadow and stuff like that, so I don't think they actually had him on set to do it.
Okay.
But he was still involved. I don't know how they could make a Ghostbusters movie with one of them who's passed away and not have him be a ghost. And that could potentially be seen as bad taste. So maybe choose one of the supporting characters to be dead and have them voice a ghost instead.
Yeah.
So I could see them talking Rick Moranis into that of you don't need to be on set. We will have someone else do the motion capture. Mm. All you do is do the lines. Record the voice for this ghost.
We're going to get the bloke that did Jar Jar Binks to be your motion capture.
We don't joke about him.
That's an interesting premise, though, for Rick Moranis.
I think that's a way of doing it because
I
really want Egon to be a ghost because that would be, if he's just still hanging around talking about molds and spores, that would be the best thing.
Isn't his son involved in the...
Jason, yeah.
So
Jason Reitman, I think, is writing it, potentially directing.
It almost gives you confidence that there will be something of substance.
Yes, and there'll
for
be
Igor.
Respect.
Absolutely.
Which you need to handle it delicately.
Mm.
And I don't know, it's kind of funny. I could see each of them individually, whoever had died first could work coming back as a ghost.
Mm.
Now, there was a lot of talk for a while when they were first going to reboot this that Bill Murray was only going to come back if he could be a ghost.
Mm.
That's some stipulation he laid down somewhere.
Okay.
But I could also see Dan Aykroyd being a ghost, carrying around a crystal skull full of his vodka. Ernie Hudson, not as much.
Yeah.
I still love him, but I don't know if Winston...
He's just got to come in and go, hey, I'm back at work.
Yep.
We'll find out more probably in a year or something.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you been watching?
I watch an episode of Impossible Engineering, which I do from time to time because I like to work my mind.
Do they focus on different things each episode?
They sure do.
Awesome.
So sometimes it's bridges, sometimes it's ships. Mm. This episode was guys who'd built a real Iron Man suit.
And it worked?
Well, they have
to a certain...
five miniature jet propulsion units strapped, two on each wrist and one on your back.
Uh-huh.
And these mofos flew for like 4 minutes.
It's not bad. 4 minutes is a long time. That is a long time to be up in the air.
Hugely longer than previous attempts. Previous attempts had been, 30 seconds and this sort of stuff. This is completely untethered. There's no navigational unit or anything to it. You wear a helmet that's got some heads-up display on the visor, so it tells you how much fuel you've got left and this sort of stuff. But it's all to do with the trajectories you hold. Like, as long as you keep your elbows locked, the one jet on your back acts as like a tripod with the two. So you stay firmly planted as long as you don't wave your arms too wild.
Yeah, so have strong arms.
Yeah, but you want to go high, you put your arms in closer to your legs.
Uh-huh.
Makes more jet propulsion go down, so thrust increases and you go up.
And that's what superheroes do in movies.
Exactly.
Go faster.
Yep. Anytime Iron Man needs to go faster, he tucks his wrists into his body so they're parallel to his feet.
Real life.
It was pretty cool. And it was all about these guys getting ready to first reveal this to a major aviation event late last year in the UK. And it went well.
I bet it did. Sounds like it was a success.
Oh, yeah.
4 minutes, though. That's so long.
It's so long. And it's only to do with how much petrol you can carry on yourself.
Hmm.
So when they can find ways to have more efficient energy consumption, they'll keep that going for longer.
Oh, man, it'll be free-for-all.
The thing, though, it looks terrifying to use because these two units on your hands each put out the same power as a Ferrari at top rev.
Holy cow.
So you've essentially got a pair of Ferraris strapped to your arms.
Too bad if you've got an itchy nose. Goodness.
Well, it also is blasting out at about 700 degrees.
So there's all this insulation issue going on.
There's like they're wearing these very special techie.
There'd be wool mesh in there somewhere.
Stuff. I don't think there's anything potentially flammable.
Okay.
Like they were talking about titanium and all this sort of stuff.
All right.
Because they're creating that much thrust that it doesn't really matter how much you weigh, it's still picking you up.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it was very interesting that.
That would have been awesome to watch.
What about you?
That's kind of it for this week. I mean, I have I've been listening to an audiobook, but I kind of want to finish it before I talk about it.
Sure, don't go ruining it for yourself.
Yeah, I got another couple hours, so I'll be done by next week.
Stick the landing.
Yeah, I just want to. The end's in sight, but I need to talk about it in depth. I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Did you watch anything or should we get into our quiz?
I got one last thing I watched.
Go for it.
Porn Stars is back, PAWN.
Mm-hmm.
The last episode that they'd put out previously was a remembrance for Old Man who'd passed away.
Yep.
And it's cool to see that the show has kind of gotten back into the swing of things.
Nice.
There's a few.
Did I mention? Are there any?
Very subtle little shout outs.
That's good though, because you don't want to make it a whole big aspect of it if they've already done the show's, special.
The show's gone back to the 1 hour format because they used to do 1 hours and then they went through a period where it was clearly 1 hour show cut into half and they'd put out two episodes a night. It's back to the 1 hour format and the very first episode, they don't really talk about it until the last 2 minutes. And Corey and Chum have gotten a picture of Old Man painted to hang above Rick's desk.
Nice. That's good. And I like that.
It's just as subtle as that.
He'll always be there.
He's there. He's looking over. And they're joking that they're going to make Rick move out of the big office and sit at his dad's desk again. And yeah, just like Chumley has opened a candy store. And everyone's been really supportive of him. Because Chum's lost a ton of weight. And he's actually working a lot harder and this sort of stuff. And someone comes into the store wanting to sell a carousel element, like a carousel horse from Coney Island.
Oh, yeah.
And Rick, in this really nice move, buys it, gets it restored beautiful and gives it to Chum to put outside his candy store.
That's nice. Yeah.
So they're actually like really getting along with each other at the moment, which is nice. After years of fighting and stuff.
How long will it last?
I know. Something's going to happen. I'm sure Old Man passing away softened Rick a lot more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same old show, but everyone's getting along. We'll see how long it lasts, but it's nice.
Little change, though.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of fresh air. All right. Well, I
that'll
reckon
do me.
We need to get into this. It's a slightly easy quiz, I reckon. I don't think you're going to have any trouble coming up with these.
Oh, you say that, but whenever you say that, it's the ones I get nervous about.
I'm very confident with this one. Okay. Now, the last time we did something like this, Lynn's actually did it.
Right.
She did a famous movie quotes. I thought, let's do famous TV catchphrases.
Oh.
So we'll go with number 6. I will say the catchphrase. You have to say definitely where it's from.
Yeah.
And bonus points if you remember the character who said it.
Okay.
You got it, dude.
Is that Full House?
Mm-hmm.
And is it, I want to say Steph. No, the little ones. Michelle
okay. Tanner. Nice one. Yeah. How wooed was Stephanie?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, Stephanie. Mm. Number 5. Missed it by that much. I even did the voice.
It's Don Adams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just trying to figure out which character.
And I'm trying to remember if that is Maxwell Smart or if that is Inspector Gadget. I think it's Maxwell Smart.
Maxwell Smart, yeah. As a kid, obviously I knew Inspector Gadget before I knew Maxwell Smart.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
That's a good voice.
Next time. Thank you.
Bet you can't do that too often, though.
Nope. Would get your hurts throat. The old throat.
So I appreciate the fact that you did it for us. That was really good. Sweetie darling.
That's your fabulous one. Abso-friggin-lutely fabulous.
Yeah, and you could have a couple of different characters because Adina says it the most, Patsy says it as well.
Yeah, that's why I said it's just your thing.
It's just that.
I can't decide which character that would be.
Abfab, absolutely. This one's so easy. Nanu Nanu.
That's Mork and Mindy. With Robin Williams as Mork.
Mindy never... Oh, she probably did say it once or twice and the audience would have gone, hey! That wasn't her thing. This one's super easy. How you doing?
That's Friends with Joseph.
That's it! What's his last name?
Tribbiani.
Ah, you got it. All right, this one's going to...
I watched all of Joey, the spin-off. That was so
bad. Really? That's the one where he went out to LA, right?
Yep.
I did not. Well, I think I watched maybe one episode. I was like, this would be great if all of the Friends cast were here and it was Silston.
Well, see, I watched it more because I've forgotten his last name, but the offsider to him in that, a guy named Paolo, was in Road Trip, which I was obsessed with for a while there, with Breckin Meyer. And
Road Trip.
Sean William Scott.
A long time since Tom I've Green. Seen that. Yeah, that's right. Tom Green was in
with
it.
The snake.
Yes. Mm. And just being Tom Green. I can imagine Tom Green saying to the director, so, like, what do you want me to do in this scene? Just be you.
Yeah.
Like me, or me, character me? Oh, no, don't be you, be character you. Oh, okay, all right. I'll just be as creepy as possible. What about that moment in time where he was married to Drew Barrymore?
Hey, I got a lot of time for Tom Green. If you want to see some insanity, check out some of his late night show because he had his own talk show for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Before, during, or after Drew Barrymore?
After Drew Barrymore.
Really?
And it was just kind of like live streaming before live streaming was a thing.
He should start live streaming again.
He still does plenty of stuff. He's out there. He does a lot of weird gear. I got a lot of time for Tom Green.
Does he still have the goatee?
Yes.
Because I think he'd be that kind of person for me. My brain only recognizes what he looks like with that. If he, like, even with a beard, I think I'd go, is that Tom Green?
I don't care how unpopular this is. I really like Freddy Got Fingered.
Really?
Yeah. Daddy can have some sausage. There are some moments in that. It's such a dumb film, but it leans into the dumbness and champions it. So I got a lot of time for that. There was also that movie he did with Jason Lee where they were thieves. I can't remember what it was called. It's escaped me now, but that was pretty good as well.
That was before My Name is Earl.
Yes.
I think. That's a long time ago.
Listeners, if you know what I'm talking about, hit us up because it's... Yeah,
the Watchers Podcast at gmail.com. Police. All right, we haven't even done the final one.
All right,
yet.
All right.
This one's very homage-y at the moment.
Okay.
The McKay residence, Lady of the House speaking.
Oh, how appropriate.
Exactly.
It's keeping
up with appearances. Hyacinth. Spelled bucket, though, not bouquet. I used to love that show so much. What about whenever the next door neighbor would have to come over for a cup of coffee? What was her name? Was it Margaret? It was something else. But she was just a bundle of nerves. Hyacinth. Oh, brilliant. Well, that's it. We've quizzed it to the max. I told you it was easy.
Max quizzage. Yeah, all right.
It was good.
No nerves needed.
You got every single one.
Thanks.
You even came up with some little sidelines, like Joey. Really? How many seasons did that go for?
One.
Two? One.
Just one.
Awkward.
That's all it needed.
Okay.
It was not good.
I don't remember it being good. Yeah, it really, from what I can remember, and I already said it felt like you wanted to like it, but what was missing was everything about Friends.
Just don't call it Joey. Have him be a new character that's got the same traits as what he used to have before. That way no one's sitting there going, when's Jennifer Aniston showing up? Because that's what the show felt like.
That's what I want. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us for this week.
Oh, I had one quick one before we go.
Yeah, go. Hey, don't go. Stay.
It's a question for the listeners.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't rewatched Lost in a while, and I'm thinking of doing it again. And does anyone want to rewatch Lost with me?
I'll rewatch it with you.
Yeah, I figure we could do a podcast out of that.
Yeah.
Do, you know, maybe a weekly podcast where we wrap up 3 to 5 episodes at a time.
I like that.
Because I got some insights and stuff that other people aren't going to have that we can talk about. But
this
you're coming from more of a newbie perspective.
I'm totally newbie. I think I watched 2.5 seasons.
Well,
I definitely watched the second season. I know I did.
I think between knowing the ending and me knowing all the extra stuff that I think there might be 2 other people that know all the shit I do, I think we can come up with some pretty cool stuff.
I like this idea.
So if anyone's on board with this, encourage me. Let me know that you're up for it because I'm pretty keen to do it, but I just need a bit of push off.
So,
to know that there's a couple of people who would be down.
There are a couple of different ways you can let us know. You can let us know on Facebook, send us a message. That's We Are The Watchers, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Just type in We Are The Watchers. I can't remember everything. Instagram, you can send us a little DM there.
Yep.
Just type in We Are The Watchers. I think it's actually with The Watchers Podcast, that one. And then We Are The Watchers email address, which is thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know.
Please.
And we'll get on board because it's so easy to get a hold of now.
That's right. It's around on Netflix. It's floating all there. And we could burn through this pretty quick.
I reckon, yeah. Limited. We'll do a limited season.
Yeah.
Limited series.
And, you know, we'll talk about stuff with listeners and see what seems an appropriate rate to get through. Because we don't want to go too fast for everyone listening
along
with us.
We do need to workshop this, don't we?
So it might be that maybe it's an episode a night that we watch and then we talk about five, you know, weeknights. We talk about five episodes an episode, or it could be three. Let us know what your ideal is. We're here for you.
We so are.
We tailor it.
Yeah, tailor made just for you.
And we'll be able to track in real time when I was enjoying it, when I wasn't, when I wanted Nikki and Paolo to just die already, when Nikki and Paolo did die already.
Spoiler, not really.
Not really. They're background people that no one cared about.
I'm so excited just to be watching the first season again.
Oh, there's some great moments.
Knowing all the things that happen post.
Yeah.
Oh, they weren't even found the hatch, the lad, the hatch.
Uh-huh.
That's not even a thing yet.
They don't know who Desmond is.
They're sure they're getting off the island any second now.
Most of them don't know who Charles Widmore is yet. The Dharma Initiative, what's that?
Huh? What are you talking
Casimir
about?
Casimir effect. Huh? Why you want to talk about 1977?
No one needs a wheelchair here, why? Stop looking at him.
What? Cheech Marin, what are you doing here?
Crazy French lady, what season was she in?
Oh, all of them.
I mean, when did she first appear? It was the second season, was it?
No, first season.
She was in the first?
She pops up in the background in a few things, but I think it's about episode 9 that she gets pushed to the front. She's very closely linked with Saeed's character.
Okay, this is why I need to watch it again.
So I say, I can just throw these things casually off the cuff. We'll be having some fun.
I'm going to get so much out of it this time. I'm not going to be confused because you'll just be able to say.
I can tell you exactly what's going on.
This is going to be good. All right. That will all be coming to you very soon, as well as, of course, the normal Watchers episodes.
We'll keep on
There'll be
on.
Both. They're not going to be mashed up all in one. There'll be a special lost one.
Yep.
And we'll still have this one.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Tom.
Toodle-pip.